Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalms 118:26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. But first, I want to give a special thanks to the praise team for keeping a song in our hearts, and we need them to lead the battle.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
We are blessed to receive another all-you-can-eat buffet in this hospital for sinners that we call church, because our spirits are always hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. Today's message is titled, God Says Nothing Can Come Between Us. The text is Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 9, verses 1 through 5. And this is Brother Paul speaking, and I'll be reading from the NLT. It reads as follows. God's selection of Israel is the title in my Bible. With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are their ancestors, and Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen.
Amen.
Let's listen with ears to hear our very own Pastor O as he delivers a message titled, God Says Nothing Can Come Between Us. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for.
Break it down for.
You're listening to Mackie and DeAndre. Amen. Because they always be talking. But I ask you, they always be talking. You might not want to sit back there. Amen. Those two will get you in trouble there because they always, y'all know how they always back there talking. Amen. See, look at them. They're back there talking. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. We walked through the door this morning. We saw Janice back in the teacher's seat. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for restoration and restoration. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for these three chapters that you want preached. And we pray, Father, that even though they seem to be like a parenthesis between chapters 8 and 12, help us to understand why they are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Oh, I forgot to say something. Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my ears.
Bless my heart.
So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you. My ways and my thoughts. Ain't like Ollie's. But I'm here today to be changed, to be transformed, to be made new. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my hot rod. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my life. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I call my new hot rod schizophrenic. It had another name, R.T. Coda, but it's got a new name now. It's schizophrenic. Because when you start it up in the morning, it become a whole... I think the gremlins is in the motor. Uh-huh. Hey, man, they in there doing stuff and laughing like they laugh. You know how they laugh, right? And just to get real happy when they tear up stuff. And then I turn the key off, Started right back up, Nicole, and guess what? It run the gremlins like you threw water on them, and they done ran away and multiplied somewhere or gave them food after midnight. But it runs just right, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today, we're going to be talking about something that puzzles a lot of us. And simply put, is the sovereignty of God. Because God is sovereign. Amen?
Amen.
But y'all waiting for me to do the review, ain't you? See, I ain't even want to do the review. I don't have to. Praise the Lord. Jesus rules. I'm doing the review. Amen. In chapter 1, Paul, two things, wants to introduce himself to this church that has been founded in Rome. And he wants to let them know how we are made right with God. He says in chapter 1, I feel obligated to pass on to you, since I am, amen, the apostle to the Gentiles, I feel obligated to pass on to you something. And what he passed on was the 16 chapters of Romans. Amen.
Amen.
He begins his indictment against those who would try to say, well, I don't know God. They try to plead ignorance. And Paul says, well, ignorance is no excuse. Because God has set up creation, so it'll witness to you. Creation witnessed to Noah. Creation witnessed to Enoch. Of course, they had a system of offerings that Adam taught them how to bring to God, but we don't know of any other teaching that God gave Adam to pass on, other than this is how you bring an offering to me. Doing what God said is what establishes righteousness. And then we see Cain. He fell out of that righteousness doing his own thing. God came to him and said, do this, this, and this. He did that, that, and that, right? And so we see the difference. Amen? So Paul says that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Just like a Christian. You know, I read in the Old Testament one time. And it cracked me up, Lolo. You know what? I mean, Deaconess Loretta Welsh. You know what it said? It said that when the people sin, and Mother Sarah, you know what it said? When they become aware of it, figure out, oh, I sinned. They have to make restitution. They have to recognize it and make restitution. Amen. So Paul is saying to the Gentiles, you've been made aware. Amen. I remember when somebody said, Paul said this thing was not done in a corner. Everybody knows about it. All the other nations knew about Israel. All the other nations knew about their God. Wasn't it Balak who tried to get Pimp Balaam to curse them? I mean, the prophet Balaam. To curse them, why? Because everybody was afraid of them. Wasn't it Rahab who said that Jericho is straight shut up because of you? Amen. So God had put his terror on the nations around them. So what he is saying is, you've heard this before, and God didn't just start dealing with Gentiles in the New Testament. He started as far back as Tamar to let us know. He's bringing them in. Amen. So ignorance of the law, ignorance of God's word, even for the Christian, is no excuse. If you don't know what God said, then why aren't you reading your Bible to see what God said? Amen. One of the things the teachers have to follow is the format that I send out for teaching on Wednesday nights. When they follow that format, they please the Lord. Why? Because they were obedient to God. But when they don't, then they've evaluated themselves as doing their own thing and not following God's saying. Amen?
Amen?
So ignorance of the law is no excuse. In chapter 2, the Jews were feeling like, well, we have the law. Amen? We have all these other things. Amen? But the problem was, God didn't give them the law to save them, but to help them to recognize they need a Savior. Okay? And they weren't keeping it anyway. We've read the Old Testament. How good was Israel at keeping God's law? So even if he did give it to them to be saved, and you have to keep the whole law, and the Lord says if you sin in one part, you've sinned in all of it. So two things. He didn't give them the law to save them, Okay, and they weren't keeping it anyway. But then God, in the latter part of chapter 3, sent Jesus Christ. Basically, it's what he's saying. I sent Christ to do what the law couldn't do, what the law was not designed to do, to save you. Simple faith in the name of Jesus Christ, God imputes righteousness to us just like he did to Abraham. Why? Because we demonstrate that we believe God. And God imputes righteousness to us. So chapter 3 began the hand clap of praise. Why? Because after Paul's indictment, verses 9 through 19, the whole world was sold out to sin. Everybody was under the expected wrath of God. But Jesus, amen, but Jesus, when he came and died for us, that was over. And then we moved into chapter 4 and salvation got gooder. Amen. Your gooder is on the way. Amen. Salvation got even gooder because now we found out we're justified. God, once the righteousness of Christ was imputed to us, it was just as if we never sinned. Amen. God justified us with him. And then when we got to chapter 5, it got good arrest. Amen. Amen. Why? Because it says, since we have been, Dr. Askew, since we, Dr. Askew's like, okay, he's talking to somebody. Amen. Since we have been justified. I love that. That's past. Since we have been justified, amen, we have what? Peace with God. Amen. A peace treaty has been brought into effect. And how did we get it? By believing in Jesus Christ. No, we didn't have to sign nothing. We had to believe something. And when we believe God's report concerning his only begotten son, John 3:16, right? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have peace with God. But then we came to chapter 6, 7, and 8. Amen. And the hallelujah party got a little bit, oh, I got to do something? You know, you had to do nothing to be saved, but you do have to live right. Just like you was a slave to sin, and sin said, cuss them out. And you didn't even hesitate, you just cussed them out. When sin said, tell that lie, you didn't hesitate, you just told that lie. When sin said something opposite of God, you said, hallelujah, I'm doing it. We obeyed sin. Ain't like it was our friend. Sin ain't your friend. Amen. Sin ain't your friend. I think Ken Jones said, stop listening to the devil. He ain't your friend. Yeah. Amen. But then in the latter part of chapter 6, it says that we have, amen, an obligation now to Christ. Right? We're no longer doing what sin tells us to do, but now we have the Bible and we read it and we're doing what God tells us to do. And every time we read something and we're living opposite of what we're reading, then we go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to empower us to live for God. We want to deny ourselves, take up the cross, follow Jesus. That's the pattern, right? Jesus says, I didn't come here on my own. The Father sent me. The works that I do, they're not my own. It's the Father working through me. The words that come out this mouth, they're not mine. They are my Father's words. Wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. I always do those things that please my Father. And so we have a goal to reach. We have an obligation to keep, right? To please God. So when I wake up in the morning, Lord, I want to please you today. Amen. Then we come to chapter 7, the conundrum. Amen. My spirit, amen. My spirit loves God. Oh, and when you hear God's word, it just gets happy. But then my flesh can't stand God. And when they hear God's voice, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. So my flesh is like, I ain't doing that. And my spirit is like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. But my soul is like, I don't know about all that. Yes, and then we saw it in the cartoons. The one over here saying, do wrong. The one over here saying, do right. That's our... Now, in the middle, if you notice, the one that was over here, and then there was the one that was over here, but the one here had to make the choice. Right, Keila? The one in the middle had to listen, decide to listen to this one or this one. So the choice is ours. Amen. And so we call up in a conundrum. We recognize that what God says is good, what God says is right. Ain't no problem with what God says. The problem is with us not wanting to do what God says. And as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have to fight it. Paul said, I keep my flesh under control. I beat the crap out of it every morning. Look, we're doing Jesus today. Okay? I know what you want to do. Okay? But we doing Jesus. You want to wake up and go to work late. We ain't waking up and going to work late. We going to work on time. You want to go to work and work like you want to work. We going to work and we going to work like we working for Jesus. See, that's the fight with the flesh. Amen. And we got to fight that fight every day. We don't just fight it once in a while. We fight it all day, every day. From the morning. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. I use it a lot. Usually about 2 minutes after I'm woke, I'll be like, 1 John 1:9. Jesus, like, seriously, you've been up 2 minutes and you're already in left field. Go on back over there in right field. Amen. Oh, I'm the only one, right? Oh, y'all wake up and be like, love the Lord, he heard my cry. I'm serving till I die. Amen. No. Especially when homie old show up and start talking crazy. Now you like, George, Jesus, my hand. Hold my hand, Jesus. They want to take the skin right off his face. Hold my hand, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you have to pray right in the midst of it. As they're talking, you have to say, Jesus, make me patient. Jesus, make me crazy so I don't even understand what they're saying. Amen. You have to pray about it. So chapter 7 brings in that reality. We saved, but amen. Our flesh is not. And never will be. If you listen to Pastor Jonathan Tate yesterday, he went to Galatians chapter 5. As soon as I heard him say Galatians 5, I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be a quiet sermon. Good thing it's on the radio, because if he was hunting for amens, he wasn't going to get none. Because it talked about a responsibility that we have. And that's what chapter 8 talks about. Chapter 8 talks about, look, Christian, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That is a settled deal. Chapters 1 through 5, right? It's a settled deal. We in Christ. So there's no condemnation coming from God. But if we choose to listen to the flesh and carry out the deeds of the flesh, that's death. It cannot end up. God is not going to let sin win. Sin is already lost when Christ came off the cross. Amen. Oh, I like how that rhymed. Sin is all had already lost. That's why the devil, Deborah, he kind of figured it out. He like, oh, wait a minute. This that head crushing coming. Come down from the cross, Jesus. Come down from the cross. Somebody else is going to tell him, come down from the cross. Why? Because if he stay on that cross and he die on that cross, my head, bless you, my head going to get crushed. The devil thought all the way back to Genesis 3:15. Oh, yeah, you're going to bruise his heel. But that's on the bottom of his feet. Bless you. But he going to crush your head. He going to crush the rule that you have over humankind. The rule that the devil had over us when Jesus got up, if you accept him, it's crushed. In other words, Jesus, the new ruler. No longer, we're no longer under Satan. See, people got this idea that I don't like God and I don't like the devil either. Yeah, well, you ain't big enough to tell either one of them you ain't doing this or that. Amen. Amen. Only in Christ can you win against him. Only in Christ, and only, amen, when Jesus came here and unto us a son, what, was given, but a child was born. That means Jesus had a body like ours. Yes, he had real regular flesh like ours that liked the same stuff we like. Yeah. Amen? Amen? But Jesus kept it under control. Amen. Amen. Satan's rule got crushed when Jesus got up. So chapter 8 tells us that if we follow after the Holy Spirit, amen, then we will not follow after what? Death. Amen. Don't put Jesus in charge of your money. You run your money. I bet you end up in debt. Yeah. Don't let Jesus tell you what to do. Follow your own ideas. Amen. Let Jesus tell you who should be your husband, who should be your wife. Let Jesus tell you. Because if not, I bet you end up in a mess. You're going to end up down there downtown trying to get them to fix it. But they don't fix it. They just tear them up. Amen. So even as Christians, we have an obligation. We have an obligation not to keep on sinning, but to live for God. Yes, we used to have an obligation to sin, and we did that. Did you ever complain about sinning when you wasn't saved? Did you ever say, you know, I hate sin. I hate sin. Get on my nerves. I don't even want to wake up today because sin is going to be right there with me, and I'm going to have to sin. But then when we got saved, you know, this living for Jesus, that's, you know, I don't even know how we supposed to do this. This is too much. Ain't nobody perfect. But Jesus ain't hear that stuff when we was out there outside him. We didn't complain. We lied. We ain't say, you know, I shouldn't lie like that. No, we lied. I don't even care about them. That's why I lied to them. Amen. So he says that we have an obligation to live for Christ. I mean, what kind of, oh Lord have mercy, Jesus, don't get me in trouble. I ain't saying that. I'm going to say it. Amen. Amen. What kind of person say they love Jesus, live for Jesus, but don't read the Bible? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That microphone don't have no cord to it. Amen. I love you, Jesus. What do you love about me? You got up from the cross. It was the grave. See, if you read the Bible, you'd know that. Amen. Jesus know you love him when you try to get to know him. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that person you're trying to date loves you when they don't even try to get to know you? They don't never call. We don't never date. You only show up when. And then you don't show up again. Yeah, we grown, right? Kids in the basement. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Ain't it reality?
Reality.
Ain't it our world? We act like we ain't supposed to talk about the stuff we do out there at the church. Oh, yes, we do. Because the Bible got a standard. Sarah preached about a standard. Sarah preached about an image. We're supposed to be the image of God. Yeah. On our job. Wherever we are, we're the image of God. In the grocery store, we're the image of God. When we driving down the street, we don't get in the fast lane and go 55. We go 70. Amen? That's my problem, Jeff. People getting in the fast lane going 55. And then my wife next to me talking about, remember who you are? You can't be out here road raising. I'm like, I ain't got my pastor hat on. I got my road rage hat on. So chapter 8 concludes by telling us that the suffering that we're going through now is not even to be compared to the glory God got waiting on us for later. Amen. That has to become, amen, our motivator. We have to look past earth, like Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, you're all concerned about finding a husband. You're all concerned about finding a wife. Let those who have those things act like they don't have them. Because guess what, y'all? Time is short. Amen. Okay, when Pastor Jonathan say time is just about up, we almost up out of here. Yes, time is very short. I don't know if you're reading the signs of the times. But rapture is about to happen. Jesus is about to come back, get his church, and snatch us right up out of here. But what the Lord is saying is we need to make heaven our motivator. Stop saying, as soon as God blessed me with this, with that, over here, over there, I'm gone. Somebody made a song. Amen. And the organist at First Baptist Church used to love to sing. You remember, James? When I see Jesus, amen. We have to get there, mother. We have to get there. When I see Jesus, amen. Not when I see a new car, amen. Not when I see a new house, amen. Not when I got enough money in the bank to see what Shorty drank, amen. Oh yeah, if you're going to date Shorty today, I saw Shorty today, yesterday on Facebook that said, if you come over my house and you see the garbage, y'all ain't even married, y'all just dating, you just met. You come and you see the garbage over there, you take it out. I'm like, please, I don't care if I never get money if that's what it's all about. If I just visit Nicole's house and she got a pile of garbage over there because I'm a man, I'm supposed to take it out. Oh, you better get your kids to take that garbage out. Amen. Taking your garbage out. Amen. So the Lord encourages us in chapter 8 by letting us know that the things that we're suffering now have nothing to do with the eternal glory that he has in Revelation 21 and 22. Whenever you get tripped out about life, whenever you get tripped out about living this Christian life, go read Revelations 21 and 22 and then get back in the field and get back working. Because that has to become our goal too. Because if we go to somewhere in this life you're going to have what? Trials and tribulations. Even on a good day, how many times have we gone and heard about a party then a shootout? Two parents went out the other day to have a good time. Left the 13-year-old in charge of the 7-year-old. 13-year-old turned into a crazy parent and stabbed the 7-year-old to death. Yeah. They went out to have a good time. Fathers say, we never saw this kind of we didn't see this coming. Yeah, they've had squabbles, they've had fights, but we didn't see this happening. Now you got a 13-year-old that's probably going to be in jail till they're 21 unless they charge her as an adult. And then you got somebody else who, now the 7-year-old, had they reached the age of accountability? The 7-year-old, had they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior? Did they know right from wrong? Now that's the tragedy. Did your little 7-year-old baby go to hell? That's the tragedy. I don't know why we wait so long to lead our kids to Christ. Amen. They might not make it. Amen. That's why they're in the basement now with them kids. Before they get grown. Amen. Oh, it's something much worse when I try to cover up, so I'm just cough out. So, amen. So chapter 8 encourages us and tells us that, you know, verse 17, we are heirs of God. Can you imagine that? We inherit from our Father. Now, he ain't never going to die, but he'll just give us everything. And then we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But then it's got this caveat at the end of that, if we suffer with him now, we'll reign with him later. Amen. But we are. And then he says, all things work together for the good in verse 28 of those who love God and are called according. How awesome is that? Excuse me. How awesome is that in a world? I got a tissue, baby Holy Ghost. Okay, I didn't use it, but I got it. Then the Holy Ghost go crazy when I do so. She's probably praying for Crystal right now. Lord, bless her, bless her, bless her. She right up under his coffin looking at Nicole. Nicole got her whole face covered up. You ain't getting me. And here we come. Amen. Like, see, that's a good wife. Amen. Just run everybody. Take this thing up there to him. Make me sick calling out like that. Amen. That's how she talk. Her voice be like that, just like that. The little sweet voice be gone. She be like, come over here. Just make me sick. Act like that. Can y'all imagine Sheila sounding like that? She is tough. Let me tell you something. She is not a pushover. So chapter 8 encourages us at the end by letting us know that nothing in heaven and earth or anywhere else can ever separate us from the love of God. That's our encouragement. My sin, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm going to confess, I sin sometime. I will get in my hot rod and I will be in the parking lot, and then all of a sudden the devil push my foot to the floor. I'll be like, devil, get that foot off the floor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This morning I couldn't even drive. The Lord said, no, you are not driving that to church, leaving tire tracks all over the parking lot. No, you don't know how to behave. Keep it at home. So I had to drive the other one. Amen. But he says that we cannot be separated from God. Nothing. My sin can't. Somebody saying, you ain't saved, that won't separate me from God. Somebody like, you saved, but you don't act right. So what? You know, Jesus knows right where I am. Amen. He knows how mature I am as a Christian. Why? Because he's been the one. Be careful, brothers and sisters, when you put your mouth on somebody, another brother or sister in Christ, trying to judge their walk in Christ. Now, you can go to them and tell them about they stink, right? Yeah. But don't go too far to the place where you start insulting Jesus. Because Mother Irma, who working on you? Jesus is. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will what? Carry it out to completion. So yeah, Jesus working on me. If you don't like where I am in Christ, go talk to him. But be careful. Because you don't want to insult Jesus by saying, you know, Jesus, Darius, him and Malachi, you know, yeah, they save people and stuff, but Jesus be like, but what? But what? But they ain't perfect. They ain't where they supposed to be in you. He's like, how you know where they supposed to be in me? I ain't been sharing with you what I'm doing in them and when I'm doing it. Amen. That ain't none of your business. Amen. Amen. Mind your own business. Amen. Work with your own hands. Amen. Lead a quiet life. Amen. Amen. My job as a pastor is to notice where you are in Christ. When you become a member of this church, I have to know where you are in Christ. And then the Lord tailors the sermons that all of us preach. The Lord tailor the classes that all of us teach so that we can reach where you are and coax you out into the position that Christ wants you to go. We should never forget that I can't fix you. If you broke and tore up on the inside, you need Jesus. Amen. Amen. I can't fix you. I can pray for you. I can pray with you, but I cannot fix you. Amen. And I can't make you serve Jesus. Amen. That's up to you. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, usually when Paul writes, he's theological. He's doctrinal. He teaches the word. Amen. And then he goes into how to live it. If you read all of Paul's writings, Romans stand out as different from the rest of them. Why? Because it seems like chapters 9, 10, and 11 shouldn't be there. They should be somewhere else. That's a discussion for another time. How do you go from chapter 8, you know, the Lord will never leave us, we cannot be separated from him, to a discussion about Israel? It's as if Paul's heart was breaking. It's as if he was saying all of this good stuff. And see, Paul was a preacher to who? Gentiles. And when Paul said to these certain group of people, since you deem yourselves unworthy of God's promises, we turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles was just, they was like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we in. And so Paul has been going all these missionary journeys, right? And he's talking to Gentiles. Here, Gentiles. There are Jews scattered among the Roman provinces, right? And they have synagogues, and that's where he would go first, to the synagogue. He wanted to reach his own people. But 9, 10, and 11 lets us see that there was a heartbreak. It's as if he was writing all the way up to chapter 8 and started crying. And somebody said, why are you crying, Paul? I'm just making this up, it ain't in the Bible. Why are you crying, Paul? Because my own people. Imagine this. You going around preaching Jesus, Rebecca, to everybody. You and Kat, y'all just evangelizing the whole world. Then you go home, Ed ain't saved. Your little nieces and nephews ain't saved. Your family ain't saved. But you leading all these other people to Christ. Paul said that I love them so much, would that I were accursed from Christ. I mean, do we want people saved that bad that we are willing to give up our salvation so they can come in? Yes. Paul is languishing, lamenting over his people, the Jews. Because up to chapter 8, I know he noticed that Gentiles are probably outnumbered the Jews in the church at Rome. I'm pretty sure that they outnumbered in those churches that he established. They were established in Gentile areas, but Jews were in that area. But his own people, amen, are not in. He says, so in these three chapters, he basically talks about three things, and you need to read them and ask God to bless you in them. Amen. He talks about election. He says in Romans chapter 8, chapter 9, there's a sonship. That means election. That means God gave them the opportunity to become his. They were chosen by God. They were his peculiar people. They were God's people. And Paul says, I would that I could be a curse. And it couldn't happen. But he is just showing the depths of his love. How much he wants them to be saved. How badly he wants his own people to be saved. And so he begins his lament. And he begins to expose to us something about God. The sovereignty of God. Israel had sonship. God chose them to be his peculiar people, his people on earth, to be a vanguard to the rest of the world, to tell them about Christ, to tell them about God. To show them how to worship and walk with God. If anybody wants to become a part of you, if anybody wants to become a Jew, all they have to do is become a proselyte to Judaism. Take the prerequisite act of circumcision, rite of circumcision. God told Abraham, if anybody wants to be a part of you, they need to be circumcised. Amen? So they had the election. Guess what else they had? They had the covenants. If you'll remember when Pastor Janice Tate taught us about the covenants of God, she told us this is how God rules with us, rules over us. Amen? He rules through covenants. There is the Edenic covenant. Some people don't accept that one. It's the covenant that God made with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then there's the Adamic covenant. I think we find that in chapter 3 where God says he's going to send a Savior. Then we have the Noahic covenant, amen, where God made a covenant with earth, with Noah, not to destroy the earth anymore. Then we have the Abrahamic covenant, we have the Mosaic covenant, and we have the New Covenant. We also have several dispensations. If you want to know about those, I'm not trying to pump my books, but in my book on biblical giving, those covenants, everything that she taught us in that class is in that book. That's where I got that from. Amen. Theirs was the covenant. And this, you know what else they had? They had something nobody else on earth had. They had an audience with God. How many of y'all remember in Acts chapter 19? See, the people was tripping talking about Moses. We don't even know if you're talking to God. You trying to run something on us. So God told Moses to get them people together, to take 3 days to get themselves together. to rope off a certain area of the mountain. And guess what? God showed up. And not see, previous to this, God was only speaking to the leader. Everybody who followed Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans followed him because he said, God said. Everybody who listened to Jacob and Isaac, they listened why? Because they said what God said. Abraham himself didn't know nobody else who knew God until he met Melchizedek. Amen? But now, and God calls Moses, but they're on the backside of a mountain somewhere, the burning bush. Ain't nobody there. God tells Moses, I'll be God to you, and you be God to them. And then at that time, Aaron became his spokesperson because Moses got that, I don't know, speak right thing. Amen. They got a chance to approach the mountain. And God came down. When he spoke the Ten Commandments, he spoke them into the ears of all the people. Not just Moses. But let me tell you, our Lord, the Lord our God, is a consuming fire. And when he comes close, you're going to know it.
Amen.
Amen. And your sin life becomes bare. It's as if somebody stripped off all your clothes and they can see everything. Amen. They done took out all the curtains and blinds in your house and they can see straight up in there. Your whole house just turned to glass. That's what it's like when the Lord comes near. Because I asked the Lord, why did the people become afraid when you were talking to them? They wanted to hear you like Moses was hearing you. Why did they become afraid? This is what they said. Moses, you talk to God, okay? And you speak to us what God said. Ain't that something? You had to have this audience because you just told me that you don't believe me. Now you believe me. But they couldn't stand to be in the presence of God. It was too much for them. And they said, because we feel like we are going to die. Wow. Amen. So the presence that they had that. Not only did they have that, they had the 613 laws of God. Only they had that. The rest of the world didn't have that. If the rest of the world was going to get God's word, they was going to have to get it from them. If the rest of the world is going to get God's word, they have to get it from us. Jesus said over in Acts 1:8, you, who was he talking to? The church. You shall be my witnesses. Not no seven sons of Sceva who heard somebody else talking about me, but don't know me, but you who do know me, you're going to be like the woman at the well. You will be my witness. You're going to tell the world about me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, no ear have heard, no eye has seen, neither have entered into the spirit or heart of any man what God has in store for those who love him. But guess what, Ed? God has revealed it unto us, who? The saved. By his spirit. Amen. What spirit? The Holy Spirit. So we are the ones who can be his witnesses. Just as Israel was supposed to be the witness to the world about the true and living God. That's why God told them, when you go into their lands, don't act like them, don't talk like them, don't walk like them, and don't believe in their fake, non-existent gods. You shall be my witnesses. If people on earth want to know about the true and living God, if people on earth want to know about Jesus Christ, we are the only people on earth who can tell them. God has made us that peculiar. Amen. We are his people. Amen. Israel had the patriarchs. Israel had Abraham. They had Isaac. They had Jacob. They had Moses. They had Joseph. They had everybody. From Adam all the way up to Moses. They had everybody. Nobody in the world had Adam. Nobody in the world had Noah. And what I mean by that, or Enoch, what I mean is these are people who believed God and righteousness was imputed to them. Long before Abraham came on the scene, God was imputing righteousness to those who did what he said. God said about Noah, I have found him to be righteous. And so God had him to build a boat. Imagine that. Noah is hearing God say, put that piece of wood over there. Put that over there. Put this pillar right here. He's getting instructions from God how to build. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm out of time. I thought I was. Amen. But church, amen, the sovereignty of God is simply God rules over everything. I heard Dr. Tony Evans this morning say God made the world. God made everything in the world. Amen. Amen. He's sovereign. He rules. God has what's called foreknowledge. That's what you need to know about God. Because he said, Esau, I hated, and Jacob, I loved. And it was before they did anything good or bad. He did all of this before he was born. Remember what God said about Jeremiah. Before, I put it like this to bring it all home. Before Keilah, amen, before she was conceived, Darius in the womb. God knew Darius. Before he was conceived, before she even knew she was going to have a son, before she even was with a man, God knew Darius. God sanctified him, set him apart right where he is right now for his service. And what else did God do? God ordained him to be a deacon. All of this is a part of God's sovereignty. And he did, Jeff, you were to say, everything that you've become in this life, you know, the bad stuff, Jesus died for that. Amen. But everything you've become in this life, Jesus knew you would become that. He knew that. And that's the same about each and every one of us. And throughout our lives, Nicole, we can constantly look to the Lord and wonder, what awesome thing has God ordained for me? I'm set apart for his service. And that means he's ordained me to be something. Are we not the body of Christ? Okay, second time out. Are we not the body of Christ? If we're the body of Christ, right? Well, then am I a finger? Am I a fingernail? Am I a hand? Am I a forearm? Am I an arm? Am I an elbow? We are something in the body of Christ, and he ordained that before you were born. It's not like you came here and you showed God some kind of way that you're going to live, and he said, you know what I'm going to do with them? No, he decided you were going to be a deaconess before you were born, before you could come here and do anything good or bad. God's mercy. God's mercy. I'm going to make a deacon. The devil said, oh, I'm taking her straight to hell. She's going to be a hellion. I'm taking her all the way to hell. And God said, well, you better check my ordinations over there because she ain't ordained to go to hell. Oh, I don't want to stop preaching, but I got to stop for Sharon come up here and put the time right in my face. Oh, see, that's why my wife started even have a battery in there. Praise the Lord. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we thank you for your being sovereign. Yes. We thank you, Father. We don't question your election or your predestination. We don't question either one of those. Whatever you decided to do is good. Whatever you decided to do is right. You are God. You are holy. You are awesome. You will never do anything wrong. Amen. You will never make a mistake. And you will give everybody a chance to become. You will give everybody a chance to live out that election. Amen. Not that everybody will accept it, but it will be offered to everybody. Truly, you are an egalitarian God. I probably just made up a word, Lord, but I know you understand it. You are for everybody. And we thank you for that, Father. Help us to remember, Lord, what we have as your children, what you've empowered us to do. Jesus, you said just before you left here that we would receive power. And not power to just run around speaking in tongues. That's good. That's a good thing, Lord, especially if we have an interpreter.
Yes.
Not just power to run around laying hands on people and healing them. We can do that. We saw that done in the Bible, and we have done it ourselves and prayed for folks from a distance who got well. But, Lord, power to be a witness. Power to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, to work with our own hands. And you declared in your word that we would get the respect of those who are on the outside. So we thank you for your sovereignty. We're happy that you are sovereign. It's good to know, Father, because the devil, the prince, the power of the air, is going around here like a roving lion trying to find somebody to devour. And he's also Satan, HaSatan, the accuser of the brethren. He always snitching.
That's good.
But I thank you, Jesus,
good,
that every single time he rats us out about what we did, you hold up that bloodstained banner, that banner that just covers us and has washed away all our sins. You, Lord, have made us white as snow by robing us in your righteousness. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray that this week we would recognize what we have and become that in the culture. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, what a difference a vacation made, huh?
Black Friday is coming. And for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend 400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.